an honor to stand in this place. And I have come to the place where anymore I feel awfully intimidated to stand and try to take this sacred place, no matter whose presence I'm in. But I'm thankful where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Amen. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. I'll try to be brief today and give you what the Lord's put in our heart. And there's been quite a bit said about worship already. And I thank God for the kind of worship that has taken place thus far. And I want to encourage our hearts in the area of worship this afternoon. I want to talk to you about Mary's worship. John chapter 12, when you found your place, if you're able, if you'll stand, we'll reverence the reading of this Word of God. I want to challenge our hearts as well to realize this is not only God's Word, but it's God's words. Amen. Plural. Every word in here is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we want to take notice of some specific words. Let's look at John chapter 12 and verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hast she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And verse number 11, that's where we want to stop reading today. And Lord, we ask you for your help. We ask you for power. Lord, we realize that we're nothing and you're everything. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us your anointing for just a few minutes, and we'll touch not the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. And we find here in the text that we've read, we find Mary. And it seems that every time we find her, she's sitting close to the feet of Jesus and soaking up everything that she can from the Lord. And I mean, it's already paid off. In Luke chapter 10, Martha was cumbered about with much service, but Mary gets there and worships. And then John 11 and verse number 21, Martha says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus asked, where's Mary? And then Mary comes along and says exactly the same words, but I'm convinced with a different attitude. She says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Same words, different heart. Jesus honored Mary because she had been at his feet time after time after time. Let me say, it'll pay off if we'll get at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's Lazarus. He's alive. Jesus is back in Bethany. It's 6 days until the Passover, according to the scriptures that we read. And I want you to follow the scriptures and notice Mary's worship. First of all, I want to say there was purpose in Mary's worship. Amen. There was a purpose for her worship. You say, why do we do what we do? Why do we come together?
Why do we worship the way we do? Let me say, there is a purpose. It's not just a noise. It's not just a show. Or let me say, it shouldn't be, amen. Oh, but there is a reason why we worship. First of all, notice there in verse number 1, she's worshiping the Lord because of the power of God, amen. Her brother had been dead. Oh, I mean, he had breathed his final breath. There it says, Jesus came to Lazarus, which had been dead. Oh, that word dead means something final. There is no more breath gone. Lazarus was beyond hope and beyond help. There was nothing more that could be done for Lazarus. It's the fourth day. There's no chance of fever, no chance of a coma. Lazarus is dead. But now, thank God, this verse said, which had been dead. I don't know about you, but I don't know very many people that fit in that category, physically speaking. But you're looking at one spiritually who has been dead. But today I'm alive by the power of God. Amen. And that makes me want to worship Him. Lazarus had been dead. Now he's alive. And not only alive, he's well. He's not an invalid. He's not a vegetable. He's not somewhere in an old folks' home. Amen. He's alive, sitting at the table with Jesus, and doing well. Amen. Let me say, everything he does, Brother Don, he does well. Amen. I'm glad he saved me, and he saved me well. He's touched me time and again, and he's done it well. Amen. Anybody ever had any dealings with that man who does all things well? I'm glad he doesn't do anything half-hearted. He doesn't leave anything to chance, but he's doing all things well. Let me say, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, honey, but now I see. Hallelujah. I'm glad today, if that's not enough reason to worship Him, if we're not willing to worship Him because of His power, amen, we might want to check up and see if we've ever run head on into that power, amen. Oh, I'll say she worshiped because of His power. Not only His power, she worshiped because of His presence. Here's Jesus sitting at Martha's table. I mean, He's with them. He's tangible. They can reach out and touch Him. You ever been in that place where it felt like the presence of the Lord was so thick and so real that you could just reach out and touch Him? You could just behold Him. I mean, that's where they are. Jesus is there. Not only has He displayed power, but He's in the house. Amen. He's there with them. Somebody said, I'm just waiting on the right time and conditions to get just right, and I'm going to cut loose and worship Him. Well, my, the conditions have been right all day. You might as well just turn loose. Forget about yesterday and tomorrow. Quit waiting on the stars to align the way you think they should, and just cut loose and worship Him, because He's in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Martha's there serving. Lazarus is there fellowshipping. But here's Mary once again at His feet. Thank God. There's specific times when He sits among us. What do we do with His presence? Do we just take it for granted? Have we wasted an opportunity to worship God? Or do we worship every time He gets in our presence? Amen. Now, fellowship goes both ways. That's good for both parties. Work, that shows what we can do. Martha and Lazarus, they're in His presence, but they hadn't latched on to what Mary's got. They don't see what Mary sees. They don't feel what Mary feels. Because if they did, they'd fall at His feet. Wouldn't worry about the chicken and dumplings. Wouldn't worry about talking to Him. They'd just fall at His feet, wrap their arms around Him, and give Him all that they had. Amen. Purpose in Mary's worship. Are we here to serve and impress? Are we here to fellowship and see what we can get out of the deal? Or are we just here to fall on our face, prostrate before a holy God, and declare that we're nothing and that He's everything and He's worthy of our praise? Amen. Oh, if we worshiped Him and praised Him from now until we were put in the grave and then throughout all eternity, we'd still be behind on what He's worthy of today. Let me say, we ought to just cut loose and worship God. Amen. Amen. The purpose of Mary's worship. Purpose. Then let's notice the practice of Mary's worship. How she went about it. By the way, let me say, worship is a verb. Amen. First of all, let's notice her priorities. No doubt this ointment that she had was being kept for a special occasion. Most of the commentators agree that this was being held for her wedding. But now Lazarus, who was dead, is alive. Jesus is here with her in the here and now. You see, one day her husband might come by, but today Jesus is here. One day her groom might show up, but today her bridegroom is sitting here with her. Amen. She recognized Him as who He was, and all of a sudden He became more important than any future date. He became more important than any relationship. He became more important than anything she could have been keeping this ointment for. Let me say, when we get a hold of just who He is and just who we are, of just how good He is and just how bad we are, we'll worship Him today and not worry about what tomorrow holds. Priorities. Notice her pouring. She poured the ointment of spikenard on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And she got down. To do that, she had to get on her hands and knees before God and worship Him on her face. Amen. Somebody said, I can do just as well. Now I realize and I understand that there's people physically who cannot get on their face, but there's a lot of people who are not willing to. Amen. I realize worship is a position of the heart, not a position of the body. But if your heart gets in the right position, it won't take long for your body to come in submission and get in the right position as well. She poured that ointment on His feet, wiped them with her hair. I believe Brother Joe said most women nowadays would have to stand on their head and buff His feet with their hair because they didn't have enough of glory. Amen. She, let me say, she didn't care who was looking. She didn't care what folks thought. She didn't care how logical it was. She just opened the box and poured out the ointment. Amen. Poured it on her master, the one that she loved the most. She didn't care what was going on around her. Let me say, He was the most important thing. And until He gets to that position, until we realize He's more important than anything else, we'll never truly worship Him.
Amen. Amen.
Priorities are pouring. Notice His price. 300 pence, 300 pennyworth. That was a year's wages. It cost her something to worship. Nowadays we want revival, but we don't want it to cost us nothing. We want to touch a God, but we don't want it to cost us anything. We want to have the power of God, but we want to be left alone in our own way and it not cost us anything. Let me say, when He becomes the apple of your eye, when you long to worship Him above anything else in this life, honey, you'll do it no matter what the price. Amen. 1 year's wages, it cost her something. Christ. And notice its presentation. Verse number 3. The house did smell like fried chicken. It did smell like green beans and mashed potatoes. I guess that might have been what they was having for supper. I don't know. Martha's running around and working and doing her best to get supper done. And I can see her as she goes by Mary every time, looks over there and says, she ain't done nothing to help me. Here she is again. And ain't no sense to mention it to Jesus, because that ain't going to get you nowhere either. He seems to like all that. Here she is, and it did smell like what Martha was doing. But let me say there in verse 3, the smell of worship outweighed the smell of work. Amen. There's been a lot said already today about people who are already in glory. And you know how they were remembered? It wasn't by their potato pie. It wasn't by their banana pudding. It's what they did when God got in our presence. When the Lord showed up, you want to be remembered around the house of God. Every time He shows up, you just get at His feet and you worship Him.
If we ever truly fall in love with Him, the smell of worship will outweigh the smell of work. Amen. Oh my. Purpose of Mary's worship. The practice of Mary's worship. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 14. I'll give you one more point and I'll be done. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. Now chief priests and scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death, but they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Verse 3, being at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some which had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Notice that, more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always, and she's done what she could. And she's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. We've seen the purpose of Mary's worship. We've seen the practice of Mary's worship. A lot of commentators and a lot of Bible scholars, so-called, say that these are parallel texts. They're exactly the same. They're harmonious. But there are details that are noticed in the second passage that we've read versus our text. Amen. You remember what I said? This is not only the Word of God. It is the words of God. There are some differences. I want to notice the progression of Mary's worship. In our gospel where we read, it was 6 days until Passover. Now it's 2 days. It was that 4 days have passed. 4 days seems familiar. 4 days is what Lazarus was in the grave. And here he is. There comes the woman, Mary, I do believe it was, that comes 4 days later, pours that spikenard ointment again. Seems to me like she might be remembering what God did for her and returning the favor. Amen. It'd do us some good to remember what God did for us and remember where He brought us from. Remember we were in the grave of sin, and do something to thank Him for it. Amen. I mean, let's see here. In verse number 3 of Mark 14, her portion is expanded. John 12, Judas says it's 300 pence. Here in Mark 14, he says it's more than 300 pence. John chapter 12, it's 1 pound of ointment, a specific measurement.
1 pound of ointment. Here in Mark 14, she broke the box. I mean, she poured it out. What does that signify? She can't take it back. I mean, she's given everything she has. This time she hadn't held back a thing. She's given her all and said, I'll not take it back. Some of these days, somebody's going to latch a hold of worshiping God, and He's going to allow our portion to be expanded and allow us to give everything we've got in worship. Amen. And when we do, we'll not want to take it back, but we'll want to return to His feet time and time and time again and give of all that we have.
Amen.
Ever expounded your portion in worship? Ever given all that you've got? I mean, giving it all you had. True worship is when you embarrass the flesh and when you wear out the flesh. I've seen one of America's top evangelists on the flyer. I mean, supposed to preach. And he got in the glory and shouted it out. For 2 hours he shouted, come to the moderator, said, you take me off the program. I'm not preaching tonight. I'm wore out. I'm soaking wet. I've given all I had in worship. Young preacher, when's the last time you were willing to give up a potential appointment, give up and wear your voice out and give everything you had physically just to worship Him and not try to hold back for what you think you want to do? And Christian, when's the last time you didn't expend yourself and held back for what you had planned? Let me say, I love to shout her out, but when He comes by, when He's in the house, when you get at His feet, it's not about when we want to. It's not about when we have it scheduled. It's about Him. Amen. Her portion was expanded. Her position was elevated. Notice verse number 3. In John 12, she was at His feet. Mark 14, she's at His head. Worship at His feet pointed to what He had done and where He'd been. Worship at His head, that's His brain, that's the control center of the body, spoke of who He was, amen. And I don't know about you, but it was a happy day in my life when I got beyond just what the Lord had to offer me and got beyond worshiping Him, Brother Dixon, for just what He could give me in return, but got to the place I could worship Him just for who He was. And if He never gave us anything in return, if there never was anything offered back, He was still worthy of all our worship. Let me say, when you get to that place, it'll be a happy day in your life when you forget about the jewels that are waiting on you, when you forget about streets of gold and say, He's in the house. Let me get close to Him. Let me worship Him just for who He is. Amen. Them seraphim, they're some of the highest class angels. And there is some debate whether they're actually angels or not. Those seraphim, their primary duty is to guard the holiness of God. It was them in Isaiah 6 that was flying around that throne in heaven and crying, holy, holy, holy. They were not interested in what God had to offer them. They were not interested in what He could do in the long nights and the dark, dreary days. They just wanted to worship Him because He was God. He was a thrice holy God. And they were in His presence.
Amen. Amen.
Her position was elevated. Worship gets beyond what He's done. And if we'll practice it enough, it'll get to be just who He is. Amen. The progression of Mary's worship. Her portion was expanded. Her position was elevated. Then let me say in verse number 8, and I'll be through. Her point was extended. John 12, He said, she's done this against the day of my burial. Mark 14, Jesus says, she's anointed my body to the burial. Oh, there, she washed His feet. made a ceremony, if you will, of what she was doing, and there did something to memorialize what was to come, that death that was to take place. Oh, but in Mark 14, when she broke the box open, when she gave it all she had, he said, she's not just performing some ceremony. She's anointing my body to the bearing. Oh, my, how today we ought to get beyond ceremony. We ought to get beyond religious practice. Get past what somebody said worship ought to be, and just let our heart fall in love with him, and look forward to what we will have. Look forward to who he'll always be, and do something for the future, not just for the past. Amen. To the bearing, what she did had lasting value. I believe that centurion, when he whipped Jesus at that whipping post, he spilled that spikenard. It made a difference on him. Those who stood at the foot of the cross, I believe they could smell the aroma of that spikenard. Let me ask you today, is what you're doing, does it have any lasting value? Or is it just a lot of racket that carries on a ceremony today? Amen. How's your worship? How's your worship? You ever progressed in worship? He said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. Say twice. The literary device is called inclusia. In the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter, the Holy Ghost put, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Is anybody breathing today? How about waving at me? Anybody taking air in and putting air back out? This Bible commands us to praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let me say, we all just fall head over heels in love with him. And if he never touches us again, if he never blesses us again, if he never came by our way again, he's due all the praise that physically possibly we could give to him just for what he has been. Amen. Mary's worship. I wonder if we're interested in worshiping.